A man was passing by a barn, and he saw arrows in the bullseyes of targets all around the barn. He asked the farmer how he became such a good shot. The farmer said, "Easy. I shoot an arrow into the barn, and then I paint a target around it." Appearances can be deceiving. What we see isn't always the reality of the situation. This is the same for us as people. People tend to judge the character and worth of others by looking at outward appearances and actions. If they are successful through work, maybe are well educated, tastefully dressed, have a nice car or house, have good status in the community, do good deeds, they may be generally admired and respected by many. But this is just what is on the outside. God has the unique ability to see inside a person. You may recall in Samuel, when the Lord has sent Samuel to the house of Jesse to anoint Israel's next king, as Samuel looked at Jesse's oldest son, Eliab, Samuel was impressed at what he saw. Eliab was tall and handsome, similar to Saul, who was Israel's first king. So Samuel probably thought, oh, he's the right guy for the job. So he thought, surely this is the Lord this is the man that the Lord wants me to anoint. But God said to Samuel, "Don't look at his appearance or his height, because I have rejected him." The Lord does not look at the things people look at. Humans look at the outward appearances, but the Lord looks at the heart. We need to be aware that the outward appearance doesn't reveal what people really are like. Physical looks and outward actions alone don't show us a person's real integrity or faithfulness to God. Moral and spiritual considerations are far more important to God, and to do this, only God looks at them from the inside, and to do this, God has to look at them from the inside, not the outside in. Inside out, not the outside in. Yes, God looks at the heart. The heart in Scripture refers to a person's inner moral and spiritual life. Scripture tells us that everything we do flows from our hearts. The heart is the core, the inner essence of who we are. God knows our true character because he looks at the heart. Unfortunately for us, the reality is that many Christians can slip into worrying about more about outward appearances and actions than where their heart is. They can focus in on what they are doing more than who they are becoming. This can lead them to being similar to the farmer and start to draw their own targets. From the outside, they may look perfect, pure and clean as they carefully follow religious practices, but in reality, their hearts can be far from God. They call themselves righteous Christians, but Jesus calls them hypocrites because they've become too focused on what is making themselves clean on the outside that they forget what really matters to God on the inside. And this is what we'll learn about a little bit more in this scripture. Working. There we go. Oh, right. So we're in Mark 7, 1 to 13. If you want to pull up your phones or your Bibles in front of you and have these verses, due to time, I'm going to go through this and describe and pull some things out as we go. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus. Let's just pause here and check we understand exactly what is happening. So a delegation of religious experts were sent from the religious headquarters of Jerusalem to check up and question Jesus. They've done this before in the book of Mark, and they're doing this again. And I'll continue. And saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. Sounds like a lot of work to me. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands?" Let me pause here and ensure we understand what we just read. So the religious leaders are saying that the disciples' hands were defiled, unwashed, unclean as they were eating. When you first read this text, you might agree with the Pharisees. Yeah, yuck. Ugh. The disciples didn't wash their hands and utensils before they ate. Gross. But this isn't a matter of hygiene. This is a matter of tradition. As Mark explains, according to Jewish tradition during this time, devout Jews performed ritual religious washings of their hands and utensils before eating. This was a tradition of the elders specifically, because over time, oral traditions had developed alongside God's word. As Pharisees and teachers of the law studied the word of God, they knew that in Scripture, Exodus 30 and 40 to be exact, that the priests were told to wash their hands, just the priests, in a certain way when making sacrifices to God. And some of the teachers of the law would then apply these rules of washing their hands, the priests washing their hands for sacrifices, to everyone. And before long, everyone was washing their hands in a certain way before all meals, because that was what they was taught to them by the religious leaders, even though this was never a command in God's word. It was believed that this, if this wasn't done, then they could be defiled or become unclean. The Pharisees believed that this ceremony cleansed them from any contact they might have with anything that was considered unclean. This could be food, non-Jewish people, people who are ill, etc. And these religious leaders had created many other traditions like this. So the religious leaders didn't like what they saw when they saw these disciples not washing their hands, because these traditions are traditions of the elders, and they're not being upheld by the disciples and ultimately Jesus. They would have seen this as being disobedient to their law. It was unrighteous, unholy, disrespectful towards them also. And Jesus responds to them, to their accusation, to a bunch of religious experts, remember, who are telling him off. He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, you religious fakes." Again, these spiritually were the spiritually elite of the day. And Jesus says to them that they're a bunch of imposters. Oh my gosh, Jesus is pretty courageous to do this here. Calling these experts hypocrites seems really rude. Not the Jesus we kind of know to be so polite. And then he pushes back to the Pharisees, holding up a mirror to them and saying to them, he quotes Isaiah saying, "Hundreds of years ago, Isaiah talked about you. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules." Note, in some versions of the Bible, they say this as they teach as doctrines the commandments of men. This last sentence, "their teachings are merely human rules," is really important. As religious leaders, they are teaching as doctrines, as rules for others to follow. These are rules or ideas that came from themselves, from humans, from people, and are not actually from God. So in the process of doing this, he says, "You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions." But Jesus doesn't stop just there. He continues, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe or establish your own traditions." And then Jesus gives another example. "For Moses said, 'Honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death.'" These are clear commandments from God's word. We're familiar with them, right, from the commandments. It's his law. It's God's law. "But," Jesus says, you religious leaders say, "that if anyone declares what might have been used to help their father or mother is Corban," Corban means devoted to God, then you no longer let them do anything for their father or mother. Thus you nullify or make void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. So a quick background here. God had clearly commanded that people honour their father and mother to help provide for them, if you will. But people in that day had come up with a tradition alongside this commandment to basically get around it. The word korban here refers to an offering that was given or devoted to God. What is actually happening here is people who wanted to hold on to their own possessions would actually dedicate their possessions as korban, meaning that when they died, their possessions would belong to the temple. But as long as they were alive, they could enjoy these possessions as much as they would like. And if their parents needed help, they would simply say, "Sorry, Mum and Dad, those things are dedicated to God. I can't help you." And in this way, they were getting around God's command to honour and help their parents. They were following a tradition that made the word of God void. And you do many things like that, Jesus says. That's just one example or a couple of examples. These are just a couple of ways that you ignore God's word. They were so focused on their own ideas and traditions, they were ignoring God's word. By this time, Jesus is shocking everyone. He's confronting these religious leaders in a way that nobody did. So Jesus addresses the crowd. Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them." This is where Jesus redefines what people understood as purity in the eyes of God. Going back to hand washing, it's not fundamentally what you do on the outside, wash your hands, that makes you clean or unclean or defiled or undefiled. No, defilement starts with what's inside you, what comes out of you from the inside. And then he has a private conversation with his disciples who were still confused by this because this was so revolutionary. It was such a big part of what they did. After he had left the crowd, he entered the house. His disciples asked him about this parable. "Are you so dull?" Which basically means, "Then are you also without understanding?" he asked. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach and then out of the body." In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. So lots of foods were considered unclean in that day. Interestingly, I found this out, I didn't know, excrement was never considered unclean. You could make a vessel with like cow dung, put things inside it, and the food was still good. It wasn't defiled because of the cow dung vessel. Interesting side bit there. Where was I? "For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person." Whew, what a statement. Need a drink after that. I don't know if you followed all of that, but Jesus just made a revolutionary claim. He just said that spiritual transformation happens not from the outside in, but the inside out. Realizing this changes everything, not just for the people in that day, but also for us. How do we do religion? What are we doing in this congregation? This has eternal ramifications for our lives, for your life, and for mine. So we're going to look in on the Pharisees specifically in this scripture and look at four reasons that they were considered hypocrites by Jesus. Firstly, they elevated their own ideas, thoughts, and traditions above God's word. They idolized their thoughts, if you will. The Pharisees had added hundreds of their own rules and regulations to God's holy laws, and then they tried to force people to follow these rules. The Pharisees had added so many rules and regulations to God's law, and in the process, they had lost sight of God's word and what God actually said. What is driving this? I don't believe that the Pharisees initially set out to override God's word, but this is what started to happen over time. They put their reputation first. These men claimed to know God's will in every detail of life. Unfortunately, there are still religious leaders today who add rules and regulations to God's word, causing much confusion among believers. It is dangerous to set up unbiblical standards for others to follow. The Pharisees created a dependency for others to come to them for advice on these rules rather than having to refer to God's word in the first place. It's a status thing. Come to me and I will give you all the answers. Jesus says to us clearly that righteous living is living by God's word and not putting ourselves before God. So by doing this, they are putting themselves before God. There is a dangerous tendency that resides in each one of us to hold tightly to our own thoughts, ideas, opinions, and convictions that we actually can make void the word of God too. We can fall into serving ourselves rather than serving God. Instead, we need to look at Christ to guide our own behaviors and let him lead others in the details of their lives. This brings me to my next point. Secondly, these Pharisees and religious leaders, they performed religious actions without being in relationship with God. And they led others down this path. Jesus called the Pharisees hypocrites because they worshipped God for the wrong reasons. They pretended they were something they weren't, putting on a mask, if you will. Their religious actions did not come from a place of love and relationship with God, but from a desire to attain profit, appear holy, possibly to please themselves and others around them, and increase their status. Jesus says to them, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules." We need to be aware that it's so easy for us to fall into this checkbox Christianity, going to church every Sunday, check. Reading our Bibles every day, check. Praying for others, check. Tithing, check. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying these actions are bad. On the contrary, these actions are great and should be part of righteous Christian living. But my point is this, it's so easy to get caught up in these outward actions, ticking the boxes, that we fall out of doing these, we lose sight and fall out of these actions. These actions don't come from spiritual affection. We lose sight of God by being caught up in the monotony of this process of these checklists. The whole point of Christianity is being in relationship with God. It's what brings us together today. If what brings us together today is just our collective thoughts and opinions and ideas and personal convictions, my personal convictions are quite different to yours, right? We're all quite different, so we might argue and bang heads. And then who are we worshipping today if we meet only for those things? Ourselves, not God. If what unites us is our thoughts and our traditions, then we are united in worshipping ourselves. Yet we think we're worshipping God, but we're not. This is what God is saying to these leaders. You are not worshipping God. Your hearts are actually far from God. And this is why the word of God is what we must be what brings us together. Not my thoughts or your thoughts, or my opinions or your opinions. Not my convictions or your convictions. Not my ideas or your ideas, and not the traditions of the country in which we live. It is the word of God, period. Only the word of God and relationship with him leads us to true worship of God. And what happens when we elevate the word of God? Spiritual affection happens. What happens when we have Jesus in our hearts? Genuine spiritual affection happens. What happens when we have a relationship with Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit? Authentic spiritual love and affection happens. Thanksgiving, hope, strength in God's promises, celebration for what Jesus has done for us. That's where we should be. It's easy to sit here and listen to a sermon with our minds and hearts actually far from God. I can be guilty of this just as much as anyone else. Those that serve God publicly or work in the church are susceptible to, if not more susceptible to this, because it's their job to be following God and to lead others in how to follow God correctly. We need to be aware it's completely possible for all of us to do spiritual actions while being apart from God. Thirdly, the Pharisees, they pointed out uncleanliness in others, but refused to see it in themselves. The Pharisees and religious leaders were on a mission to point out uncleanliness in the disciples and in Jesus, but Jesus said to them, "No, you are the ones that are unclean. You are the unclean ones." But they couldn't see it, and they wouldn't see it. They were stuck in their pride. God calls us as Christians to go out into the unclean areas of society, to care for the displaced, the disadvantaged, visiting the poor, the sick, those living in grief. Love one another, all others, as we love ourselves, Jesus commands. But these religious leaders were against doing this. They didn't want to be defiled. Throughout all of Mark, these religious leaders continue to argue with Jesus, and ultimately they plot and they crucify him, all while thinking they were in the right. They paid more attention to their reputations than to their character and who they were becoming. More interested in how they appeared on the outside and less worried about who they were becoming on the inside. Fixated on doing what they thought was right and not seeking God's guidance, for example, taking Jesus' advice on board as to who they were becoming. That brings me to my final point. Finally, they thought they could make themselves clean. These religious leaders created a whole way of living in their version of purity that they thought that they would make themselves okay before God, even without involving God at all. We cannot be made clean without God giving us a new heart, right? These religious leaders and Pharisees didn't think they needed God. It is possible for us to do these religious things and good deeds, just like the Pharisees, and miss the whole point. That's what this reads, right? What we just read. These religious leaders who studied and memorized scripture and went to the synagogue to pray all the time, the Pharisees did good deeds. But Jesus calls them hypocrites, hollow religionists that miss the whole point in dangerous ways. The biggest problem is that we are just like the Pharisees. We are them. Our struggles are their struggles. We can see these traits as warnings for ourselves not to fall into. We all elevate our own ideas, thoughts, and traditions over God. All of us, you and me, we are just like these religious leaders. We are no better than them. This is the essence of sin in all of us. This is the first sin of the world. It looks different to each of us in each of our lives, but we are all sinful. All these things are self-serving, and we need to be wary of this. We can all fall into performing religious acts that checks box Christianity, if you will, without having relationship with God. We need to be wary of this. We need to be doing things from a place of love with spiritual affection. Actions should come from that inside out, not the outside in. We all have the innate ability to see things in others. We refuse to see in ourselves, right? Judging others, but refusing to see those things in ourselves. We've all been guilty of it, myself included. We should be looking to Christ for guidance about our own behaviours and let God lead others in the details of their lives. We are not the judge. He is the judge. We can create a pattern of living and a way of thinking that makes us think that we are okay before God, and we can trick ourselves into thinking that we can save ourselves through our actions and strive to earn God's love, these actions themselves making us clean. But the whole point of Mark 7, 1-23 is the people, the Pharisees, the religious leaders who tried and strived their best, who were the experts of their day, couldn't meet God's expectations. We cannot meet God's expectations through our actions alone. Jesus says, understand this. It's not what goes into a person from the outside that defiles them. You can't make yourself clean on the outside, no matter how many times you wash your hands. These Pharisees and scribes were so obsessed with the outside that they completely bypassed the heart of the matter. We can do the same thing. It may look different in each of our lives, but think of your individual efforts to be happy, good, right, successful through work, through education, appearance, possessions, money, status, religion. We can do everything we can, but our problem is deeper than this. The problem is at the core. At the heart. We may look clean on the outside, but in reality, we still have germs on our hands, no matter how hard we scrub. All of us are unclean and unworthy before a holy God. So what we don't need is our relentless effort to clean our hands. We need Jesus to change our hearts. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, etc. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. All these things come from the heart. These are all heart issues that start from within. No matter how many times you wash yourself on the outside, you can't be made clean by yourself on the inside. But there's good news. This is why Jesus came. This is what God promised. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. God says he will make you clean. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove you from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Oh my gosh, how amazing is that? We need to stop focusing on the outside and striving to make ourselves look right to please ourselves, to please others. God says, if only you will let me, I will, he says this over and over here. I will cleanse you. I will give you a new heart. I will put a spirit in you so that you will want to follow me. Jesus died on a cross to pay for our defilement. Lord, forgive them, he says. They know not what they do. God will change us from the inside out. A good man brings good things out of good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. From the mouth, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. We want to be full of good, but we have to have a heart of good, and only Jesus can do that. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. Woohoo! Has this happened to you? Have you trusted Jesus to change you from the inside out? Come and experience the relationship with God, a heart that is transformed, a spirit within you that helps you lead your path straight. Let us live from the inside out, not in unrighteous living, but in righteous living. Let's stick to God's word and ensure that it is elevated above our own human tendencies and is elevated above ourselves. Let's worship Him through relationship with Him and celebrate what He has done with genuine spiritual affection, with genuine love for Him and what He has done. Let us love our neighbour as ourselves, the disadvantaged, the displaced, all who are in need, all that are considered dirty in this world. Let us go and make them clean. Let's make disciples of all nations and help those who are in need. This is righteous living. This is what God calls us. He calls us to be different because we have new hearts through Jesus. This is the true target, the heart of the matter. Is that what truly matters? Is the heart. Let us pray. Lord, we just thank you that you are here. We thank you that you have given your Son Jesus so that we may be given a new heart. We are sorry, Lord, that we sometimes lose sight of you by elevating our own ideas, thoughts, and traditions above God's word. We are sorry that we perform religious actions, sometimes without spiritual affection in our hearts. We are sorry that our hearts are sometimes far from you. We are sorry that we sometimes fall into thinking that we can make ourselves clean through striving and doing things to impress you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your Son so that a new heart can be created in us, that through Jesus we can be righteous in your eyes, Lord. Thank you for your word, for the Bible, and the Spirit that you have left us with here to guide us in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.